political campaigning in the age of COVID-19? Well, it's a little different. Rallies aren't the same in the age of social distancing. Door-to-door campaigning, well, that's impractical. But one thing that remains the same as past elections and legislative races here in western Wisconsin is that Wisconsin Public Radio will be hosting debates featuring the candidates in those races side by side, at least virtually. We kick off our general election debates with a rematch from 2018 in the 93rd Assembly District today on the west side. And a good morning to you. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Joining us today are Republican Warren Petrick of Eau Claire. He was first elected to the Assembly in 2010 and has been reelected four times since. Warren Petrick, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here. Good morning, Dean.
Democrat Charlene Charlie Warner of Mondovi has a background in real estate and business and is running against Petrick for the second consecutive general election. Charlie Warner, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you, Dean. Happy to be here.
So this is your chance to hear from these candidates and ask them questions you want to ask. 800-228-5615 is the avenue through which to do that. 800-228-5615. You can email us as well at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We'd especially love to hear from those of you living in the 93rd District. And by the way, the 93rd District includes all of Pepin County, most of Pierce County, and parts of Eau Claire and Dunn counties, as well as a small part of St. Croix County. Cities in the district include Prescott, Durand, and a small part of southern Eau Claire. Also included in the district are the villages of Ellsworth, Spring Valley, Elmwood, Pepin, Plum City, Bay City, Maiden Rock, and Stockholm. So let's begin. Charlie Warner, this is your second time running against Representative Petrick for the 93rd Assembly seat. You did run against him in 2018. You describe yourself on your campaign website as an old-fashioned Wisconsin Democrat with a conservative brain and a liberal heart. Tell us what that means and why you're running again.
Well, thank you, Dean. I'm glad to be here. Well, I tell you what, 2 years ago when I decided to run for election to represent the 93rd, I knew why I wanted to run. Because the 93rd District, like all of Wisconsin, needs a very strong voice to represent the people's interests in health care, clean water, a healthy environment, as well as good roads, schools, and fair play. I think fairness is really important to Wisconsinites. At the time, I knew Representative Petrick did not represent us very well because he was very much a consistent supporter of the policies of Walker and Boss. And that brought hardship to our schools and teachers, devastation to the environment, and wasted a lot of taxpayer dollars on schemes like Foxconn rather than maintaining roads, our healthcare system, and our infrastructures. It was something that bothered me tremendously. I would call and write. 7 years I've been watching it, and I've not been happy with what's happening in our state. frankly, the emergency session after the last election talked me into running again because it handcuffed our elected governor and everyone else, and I just couldn't handle that. I had to run because our district is set up to make it possible that no one can beat Warren.
So, Warren Petrick, you are seeking your sixth term in the Assembly. What motivates your continued interest in representing the 93rd Assembly District, and what's your agenda for the district for the next term?
Well, thank you, Dean. And I wanted to start out by thanking you for not Zooming this broadcast, because I'm told often by people that I have the face made for radio. So I think this is a perfect format. Thank you kindly. And for the opportunity for people to hear about my decade of legislative work, it's been an incredible honor, and I want to express my gratitude, my deepest gratitude, to the people of western Wisconsin. They've given me this privilege that is most humbling. It's most awesome to be trusted by them, to be elected by them, to serve these past five terms. I guess it's been 58,100 souls in my district, and I have met many of them. I've listened to them. I communicate with them. I work beside them. I celebrate their successes, and it is the greatest honor and privilege of my 65 years of life. And I've met thousands of people, as I average probably around 25,000 miles a year on my old truck. visiting with farmers, singing for residents at the Plum City Nursing Home, enjoying John Harmon chicken dinners, Durand and O'Galley. I talk with students at Prescott and Ellsworth and Spring Valley. I shoot trap with friends in Ellsworth at the Rod and Gun. I sing at the fairs in Dunn County, St. Gray County, Pierce County. I speak at dairy banquets, Eagle Scout courts of honor. And overwhelmingly, they tell me, thank you for your deep roots in Wisconsin. You're a longtime member of Chambers of Commerce, different sportsmen's groups, farm bureaus, the Clagern Lions Club. I'm a board member for the Boy Scouts. And in contrast to my opponent, I'm a lifelong resident of Western Wisconsin. I've been a tax-paying Wisconsin businessperson for over 50 years, and I think that uniquely qualifies me to understand the issues important to my people. And I'm running for re-election because my work as a public servant is far from done. I voted for so many things, and I really can't put it in a short period of time, but getting Wisconsin's fiscal house in order was number one as I entered 10 years ago. In the meantime, I've voted for record-high public school funding, fully funding youth apprenticeships, high-tech fabrication labs, including Altoona and Ellsworth, school safety measures, record-high state broadband internet investments. In the last budget, I believe we had $44 million to that end. I was able to procure the first phase of funding for, along with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, for the new and much-needed UW-Eau Claire Science Facility at my alma mater. I've been working to lower taxes, keeping more of your money in your own pocket. I've made investments in safer, healthier communities. I voted for the bipartisan clean water initiatives, public recreational land acquisition like the beautiful 900-acre recreational property by Rock Falls. We have a great deer hunt there each fall for hunters with disabilities. I've increased funding for local roads like Highway 25, Highway 12 in Dunn County. We've put money into workforce development programs, increased health care giver wages. I vote for increased funding for Alzheimer's, dementia, mental health care for children and adults. Governor Evers signed my bill that helps prevent theft from taxpayers. Many people will sadly remember our former Eau Claire County Treasurer and his assistant who absconded with thousands and thousands of dollars from our funds, and keeping veterans programs number one in the United States. I've been recognized with strong endorsements and awards from the Wisconsin Realtors Association, the Farm Bureau, the Farm Business Dairy Association, Troopers Association, Federation of Independent Businesses, Association of School Nutritionists, the VFW, the American Legion, Wisconsin Cooperative Network, Wisconsin Right to Life, Wisconsin Economic Development, and many more. And after I'm reelected, I will continue to be what I've always been, effective collaborator, communicator. I work in a bipartisan way for practical solutions to our problems. And I work on positive results to improve the lives of everybody living here in Western Wisconsin.
This is our debate in the 93rd Assembly District, Representative Warren Petrick versus the challenger, Charlie Warner. 800-228-5615 is the number for you to call, 800-228-5615 to join the conversation, or you can email at ideas@wpr.org. And I'm going to go right to the phones because Bruce from Eau Claire wants to talk about what I wanted to talk about first, and that is redistricting. Bruce, go ahead.
Thanks, Dean. I haven't seen either of the candidates' names on the Fair Maps pledge. My question to them is, will you support giving a citizen commission a role in leading next year's legislative redistricting?
And as Bruce implies, every 10 years following the federal census, state legislature redraws political district lines. Those lines are drawn to ensure that each district represents approximately the same number of people. In Wisconsin, the state legislature redraws the lines, and often the charge of gerrymandering or drawing the boundaries up for political advantage comes up. Governor Evers has taken the initiative to start a bipartisan redistricting commission. So to Bruce's question, Warren Petrick, good idea?
Well, it's great to talk about. It's an interesting topic. And for, I believe, since 1848, the legislature's job is to draw fair, contiguous, equal representation maps. It's been done by both parties as they are charged in their constitution. It's very clear redistricting should be done by the legislature. The courts have often gotten involved, and they may in the future. I I don't have a crystal ball, but I would imagine that whoever draws the maps, whichever party it is, whether the Republicans or the Democrats, that the governor may or may not approve of them. And depending on that action, of course, it may end up in the courts, and as did 10 years ago. The courts took it up. They made a few tweaks, basically changed a couple of places in Milwaukee that had a minority situation. And so they looked at that, and they felt the maps were just fine. So my belief has always been a good candidate with good ideas, with the support of the people in their district, will win elections. So that being said, I was fortunate enough to win on two different sets of maps drawn by two different parties and decided by two different courts. And I really believe that if ideas resonate, and I hope that I have my finger on the pulse of the majority of the people in my district, certainly that will win the day. And gerrymandering is a strange term, came from way back in history, but interestingly enough, if you look at the 2018 election, for example, Democrat Tammy Baldwin won 30% of the districts held by Republicans. So it's hard to use the argument. Is it a fair map? She won 55 of the assembly districts. She won 55% of the state vote, and she is our senator. So her ideas resonated with the people, and she was voted in. So I'm hoping that my votes for education and workforce development and agriculture support resonate with the people of Western Wisconsin.
Charlie Warner, your turn to answer Bruce's question. Are you in favor of these Fair Maps initiatives or the Governor's Commission?
Bruce, thank you for that question. Actually, I'm sorry you missed it because I have signed and pledged to do everything I can to help create Fair Maps. In fact, that's one reason why I'm running, so that we can kind of stop the stranglehold that the GOP has on our state. Because in 2010, after the census, when they did the gerrymandering, it was more than what it had been in the past. They brought in outside people. It was all done. The decision on where to do the dividing was all done and behind closed doors, and that made it really tough. No one knew what was happening. So it's different. Now you look at the 93rd, my gosh. We have four counties, and we touch two others, so that's six counties. We've got 17 school districts that we touch. We've got three universities, and it stretches 120 miles from beyond Altoona and Eau Claire all the way to the river. Our Constitution, the Wisconsin Constitution, says that our legislative districts be compact and that they be bounded by county, precinct, town, or ward lines where possible. This particular district was set up so it would be impossible for a Democrat to win, or an independent, because it takes out all of the supposed liberal cities where there are universities, and it leaves us with this big, strong, huge geographic area that it's pretty hard to cover. It's even hard to find people at home. I've door knocked consistently throughout the area, not this year, unfortunately, and you can easily visit 18 homes and not find anyone home, and hopefully on the 20th you'll find someone. I think the distribution of what we have here is takes away the voter's choice. Voters don't choose their representative. It's all done by the geography. When you think about it, at the Capitol, there is a statement written on the wall that the will of the people shall be the law of the land. And when we have a district like this, it does not reflect the will of the people. And I have to fault Representative Petrick on his wonderful education stance, because the Wisconsin Education Council has given him an F for his votes, because he has been a big part of the reduction of funds to high schools and the university and grade schools. Every public school has lost over the last 10 years, and it breaks my heart. We've seen a lot of things going on. Teachers are leaving Wisconsin to teach in Minnesota. And I know right now there are teachers who are retiring rather than face the dilemma that COVID is bringing. So the fair maps is the most important decision we have this election. You need to vote in some Democrats so we can stop. Right now, it's set up, it's over 60% Republican, 39% Democrats. So the Republicans rule it. That's how they got their lame duck session to limit the rights and the job of our duly elected officials.
Warren.
So this is key. I've signed up for several fair maps issues, and I will support the Iowa method, which is totally unbiased and would make sense.
That's the voice of Charlie Warner, Democrat running for the 93rd Assembly District with Warren Petrick, the incumbent Republican in that office. The district, of course, includes parts of Dunn, Eau Claire, St. Croix, Buffalo, and all of Pepin County. What questions do you have for the candidates? 800-228-5615. We do have one line open right now, 800-228-5615. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to today's debate with Representative Warren Petrick, the Republican incumbent, and his Democratic challenger, Charlie Warner, here in the 93rd Assembly District, parts of Eau Claire, Dunn, Buffalo, and St. Croix counties, as well as all of Pepin County represented within that district. 800-228-5615, the number for you to call. Our lines are full, and so let's go back to them. I'd like to go this time to Bruce in Pepin. Bruce, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Dean. I do have a question for Representative Petrick. I lived in the 93rd now for 10 years, and I followed this race pretty closely when Petrick even had a contestant against him. 2 years ago, when you came on the air with this debate on the west side, Representative Petrick, you said a whole number of things really fast. So it's really pretty impossible to fact check in real time. You said our teachers were flourishing, which I couldn't find a teacher to verify. You said our ACT scores for students were at the top of the nation, which turned out to be easily to fact check, but it wasn't true. And then you said the most egregious thing probably, which is that the Foxconn deal would be transformational for Wisconsin. Even the research center that was promised for UW-Eau Claire as part of the Foxconn deal, Wisconsin put all of our eggs in that basket under the leadership of Scott Walker and with the support of Donald Trump. And where are we now? And what have you learned from your mistake in supporting the Foxconn deal?
Representative Petrick, want to comment on Foxconn?
Well, there were several different comments made in there. So thank you very much, Bruce, for calling in. My comments about high testing scores, if I remember right, it was 2 years ago, we're still in the top 10 in ACT scores. Our schools are doing an amazing job, and it's really wonderful to see, especially our local schools. I'm so proud of the job that they're doing. And now with the new challenges from COVID, I just want to thank all of them, the superintendents, the school boards, the folks that are making difficult decisions about the safety and the health and the welfare, not only of our children, but our faculties and our visitors to our schools, which are many. So I just really appreciate all that they're doing. And on that topic, certainly I advocated strongly to increase, but the governor agreed with me that we should put more money into schools. So steadily, the funding has gone up. I believe we're looking at a $500 million increase in the last budget, and that is record investment. And that came back to the 93rd district. To be very specific, I think we were looking at about a $23.5 million over 2 years increase, which is about a 4 to 5% increase for almost all my districts. And I was thanked by the superintendents and many school board members for my my strong advocacy. I'm a huge fan. I'm a product of the public school system, and certainly anything that I can do going forward to make that very, very strong. We have no idea what our finances are going to be. We've got some big, huge challenges coming up on that front. But that being said, education is our number one priority. 45% of all money that comes into the state goes to education, and I'm very proud of that. I don't see us diminishing ever, and we did bills to attract teachers to our rural areas. We put money into fabrication laboratory funding. I had a bill for high-tech manufacturing equipment in schools. We increased transportation aid and sparsity aid for rurals. So the teachers that I talk to that love their job, love their kids, it really is a situation where I just thank them daily. It's a calling. It's not as much a career as it is a calling. But certainly the Foxconn deal is still extremely viable, if we want to talk about that. The governor can reexamine the contracts, and he can renegotiate the contracts at any time, but he's already pulling for them. He's trying to do what he can to make them successful. It's a very, very changing world, of course, and will the metrics change? Yes. Will a dollar be paid to them before they create jobs? No. There's no investment by the state until they actually create jobs. So I'm proud that the governor's doing all he can to make them successful. They will step up. And I still believe that their local investments in Eau Claire and around the state are going to pay off in the long run, as it will be a game changer when they get everything in the ground and on their way. But right now, it's all in flux. The entire economy is in flux, of course, but they are moving forward. And as I say, the governor can at any time look at that and reexamine. And I hope that they are highly successful and put many, many people to work.
Charlie Warner, the question and comments were directed toward Representative Petrick, but you get a shot at it as well. What do you have any response to Bruce's comments?
I think Bruce is right. Governor Petrick was lauding Foxconn as the most important, most significant thing that had happened in Wisconsin forever.
I'm not governor yet, ma'am. So sorry. You mentioned Governor Petrick. Not
yet. Yes, I'm certainly sorry about that.
Not at all.
I was appalled by that. I had studied the background of that company and didn't think that they were ever going to do anything. I thought it was all a publicity stunt to put together. They were eager to build here because they thought Trump was going to have higher and higher fees and tariffs. But as he rolled things back, and it hasn't happened, they have no intention of building here, and they wouldn't have hired the local people. As a matter of fact, they're still working on the roads there, and most of those workers came from Illinois, who hauled gravel and sand and dirt. So it wasn't really a big boon for our economy. I was very much against that.
Let's stay on the phones here and go to Craig in Eau Claire. Craig, welcome to the West Side.
Thank you, Dane. This question for both candidates, it has to do with health care. Throughout the Democratic primary campaign, both Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden as candidates were talking about their so-called progressive plans for health care. One of the candidates even talked about universal health care. I'd like to know if either of the candidates support a universal health care plan for Wisconsin.
Thank you, Craig. Charlie Warner, do you want to comment on that first, please?
I would. I do believe that I can't call it a universal health care, but I think Wisconsin has a very good program called Badger Care, and I think Badger Care would be ideally suited to be made available to everyone. We have an awful lot of employers who are not providing health care for their employees or are finding a way to make it it's not affordable. A health care system that you're paying $500, $600 for your family, where everyone on it has $6,000 deductibles, is going to bankrupt more people. So we need something more affordable, and where we've gotten rid of some of the middlemen. So I would promote Badger Care for all. With, of course, those that can afford would pay more. I am also pushing hard for the Medicaid expansion, which the powers be have voted down consistently since it was offered, costing the state over $1 billion.
Representative Petrick, and this relates to an email we got from Craig as well on the ideas at WPR.org email. Representative Petrick, he's asking you why you don't support the expansion of Medicaid to cover medical costs for more low-income Wisconsin citizens and pull in millions in federal money to fund it. So you can respond to that and to Craig's comment as well.
Sure. There's a myth that there's free federal money. Every single federal program comes with strings attached, as we know. So Medicaid expansion, last that we looked with an independent study, would cost us $15.2 billion a year, and that was in 2008, over 12 years ago. So first of all, we need to ensure that we protect our most vulnerable people in our state, and we do that, as was pointed out, very well. Badger Care is one of the few states that provides 100% health care to everyone living below the federal poverty level, every single one. We're one of the very few states. In fact, I know we were the first, and I'm very proud of that, glad that we got that accomplished in the last 10 years. And secondly, we need to make sure that we keep health care affordable for those that go on the private market, and there needs to be competition to keep prices low. So with all of the finances in flux, we're likely going to have some hard decisions coming up, and it will be very interesting to see how this plays out. But going back to the myth of free money, a great example is special education, which is one of my passions. And the federal government promised these large, large amounts of stipends coming down to the states, and it was a failed promise. Of course, less and less money comes each time, and who's on the hook for it? The state taxpayers. And so it's become a really bad example of what can happen with federal money, and almost every state that has taken that expansion is experiencing that. So the best thing is to get a great job with health care benefits if you can do it, and protect those that can't get benefits, and that we are doing very, very well. So we've reduced health care premiums by about 4% with the health care stability plan that we passed in 2018, and that's helping reduce high-cost pools. So we got to keep the options open. Wisconsin is number one in the nation for health care. It's just an amazing place to be if you get sick. And of course, with this pandemic, often it's said by professionals, the best health insurance of all is to not get sick. So I really, really implore everyone to do healthy things, be active, stay out in your community as much as you can, and follow the guidelines of the CDC, but stay healthy at all costs. It's so important, especially today.
We're talking to
Dean, I have to respond a little bit to that,
sure,
if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Governor Evers' budget proposed that Wisconsin, like so many 37 other states, accept the funds for expansion of Medicaid coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Those funds represent the taxes that we have paid and would provide health care for an additional 82,000 people in Wisconsin. That would return $1.5 billion to the state budget. And in this time of pandemic, this horrible COVID, no one should go without health care. And there's a lot of people in Wisconsin who do not have health care. Warren Petrick and his party voted to remove that expansion from the state budget, and they've also voted to exclude pre-existing conditions. And I think that's reprehensible.
I have to respond to that. The first bill that we passed and the governor signed was to protect people with pre-existing conditions. And in the budget, we were able to help health care by increasing nursing home funding by $75 million. Personal care workers got an increase of $91 million. Direct caregivers by $66.5 million. We increased payments to hospitals in rural areas by $150 million. On and on. all without taking the Medicare welfare expansion. So we take care of our poorest of the poor, and thank goodness that we do. Thank you.
We're listening to the candidates in the 93rd Assembly District. That was the voice of Representative Warren Petrick, the Republican from Eau Claire. Charlie Warner, the Democratic challenger from Mondovi, is with us as well. Got an email from, well, it's an anonymous email. I don't recognize the name or see a name on here, but it's an individual who asks, why is our internet service still in the last century? Warren Petrick, I'll give you first shot at that one. Talk about broadband expansion and where you are on that. Certainly an issue in the 93rd.
Oh, it's an issue nationwide and worldwide, actually. But right now, I'm very proud that we were able to put record funding on a state level, which is quite unusual, of about $44 million. In the last budget, I believe we had 13 to 15 in the budget before. And this is so important to especially rural areas where we have schools dependent on virtual schooling now more and more. Our economy is based more and more, especially small competitive entrepreneurs that are trying to start up businesses. It's very important. And nobody, everybody on every side of the aisle, everyone understands this. Telemedicine is just huge. Mayo, for example, just announced an expansion where they'll be able to do interaction with nurses, labs, rehab facilities, all at seamless care to ensure that the needs of the patient come first. So I sat on a task force in 2016. We were able to make changes so that we can go into areas without any service and then into high areas needs. So that $44 million was spoken for, and unfortunately, in the budget, the only person on the other side of the aisle to vote for it was the governor as he signed that budget. So I'm very proud that we've made progress in Wisconsin. I really believe that this should happen on the federal level, and perhaps the governor will use some of his $2 billion in CARES Act money from the federal government to increase access in our rural areas especially. So I keep asking him to do that, and I hope that he will. But more needs to be done on the federal level. In 1936, which is even before I was born, the federal government stepped up and provided grants to local electric co-ops, and it was a huge success. Rural electrification was a huge priority back then, and we see the results of that to this day, where even the most remote areas in the 93rd have electricity, certainly. And I believe it's a matter of time before they print enough money to make it happen nationwide. And I'm also excited about new technologies. Elon Musk is launching his Skylink technology by satellite, which if they figure it all out, maybe it'll be within our lifetimes. And hopefully very soon, there might be very affordable worldwide instantaneous connectivity, which is really would be awesome. So thank you very much.
Charlie Warner, your thoughts on broadband expansion?
You shouldn't ask me this one, Dean, because I live in a desert where my internet connection is worthless. It is not as good as what they have in Venezuela. And also my phone service is not so good. A couple of years ago, when Warren was still in office and Governor Walker was there, my provider, who I'm stuck with, Frontier Communications, was given a lot of money to enhance and do better with broadband and with their phone service. But there was no oversight, and they spent that money to buy another ailing telephone company in California. So those of us are stuck. I talk to people all over the district who do not have internet. They don't have access, or they could spend. I have broken down, and I have a satellite for internet. It doesn't work all the time, but it costs me $130 a month. Now, if I were raising three kids, I wouldn't be able to afford that. Now, with the schools, I don't know. There's so many schools that have provided children with hotspots and their own different ways to try to connect with the school that it's frightening. This has to happen sooner. I've been working with the Rural Broadband Association out of Washington, D.C., and that is a association for cooperative independent telephone and broadband providers. Two of our major broadband people here are members of that already, and they're helping me to change some opinions, because we are ranked by the FCC as having much better internet than what we actually have. And that has to change. So in my township, someone on the far west side happens to have internet and services through a wonderful company out of Downsville. And on the far east side and south side, there's a company out of Gillsville and Whitehall that has great internet. So we've got maybe six people in the whole township that have good services, and the rest of us are just sinking. So it's a major concern, and we have to have more money. It has to become, it's a public right. Broadband should be treated just like water, where everybody needs to have it, and it should be affordable. Thank you.
We're with the candidates on the ballot in the fall election for the assembly seat representing Wisconsin's 93rd District, Democrat Charlie Warner and Republican incumbent Warren Petrick. It's your chance to question the candidates. We've had good, rousing response so far. You can email ideas at WPR.org or call 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. This is The West Side, and we have the candidates for the 93rd Assembly District, Charlie Warner, the Democrat from Mondovi, Warren Petrick, the incumbent Republican from Eau Claire. And there are a number of issues I want to get to, and the callers have been great, and the emailers have brought up a number. But I want to get to some of the things that I wanted to touch on for sure. One of them is election security, fairness issues, election security issues relating to the COVID-19 pandemic have already cropped up in Wisconsin around the April primary, and they continue as we look ahead to November and the election that includes the race that you folks are both involved with. A federal judge heard arguments this week that the deadlines for Wisconsin's online voter registration and the receipt dates for online ballots need to be extended, as well as lifting the requirement that people submit an electronic copy of their voter ID when they request a mail-in ballot. The head of the State Elections Commission fears there will be a shortage of poll workers. Charlie Warner, how can we assure a fair fall election in the midst of a pandemic?
Oh, Dean, that is a great question. Right now, I believe that the governor is planning on calling out some National Guard. I do hope people are requesting their vote-by-mail ballots. It is confusing for people. The reason that so many were discarded and not counted after the April election was because a lot of people were safe at home alone. They had no one to sign their ballot, didn't read all the instructions, didn't realize they needed to sign the back of the envelope, or they did something else wrong. And that can happen on a first-time situation with new things. I understand our request for vote by mail has been extreme, and that's really good. I send that message out. I encourage people to call and get their vote by mail. I've done that in other states, and yes, there's some advantages to living in other states, especially when your heart brings you back to western Wisconsin. I've lived and worked in Arizona and in Montana and spent a horrible year in Illinois. So I'm very happy to be back in Wisconsin, where I was born and raised and started my working career and raised my family. But I think voter election is not going to be as big a problem as it's been made to be. Generally, vote by mail is very, very safe.
Warren Petrick, President Trump, and other Republican leaders have questioned the security of mail-in ballots. Do you share those concerns?
On a rural area like the 93rd, I don't, because I've speak to the clerks, and they were very, very competent. They were very secure. They were phenomenally prepared for this for the April election. Most of them called me and said, please do not change the date on this. We had no intention of doing that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the governor disagreed and tried to change it the day before, but I'm very happy that that did not happen. And so April went very swimmingly, thanks to our wonderful clerks throughout the 93rd District. They did a phenomenal job. There was record absentee voting, and they're already seeing that perhaps in this primary. Most that I've talked to are doing many, many more than they have in the past. So Is there going to be a security issue in the 93rd? I can say probably unequivocally not. There will be secure voting, whether you vote absentee, and I was a huge advocate for that, of course, when we knew so much less about this virus. But right away, I supported absentee ballots. I sent out numerous public service announcements, and as did probably your station before the election on social media. I thought it was done very safely. And very easily, going to myvote.com or .gov is just a very easy way to get your ballot and take care of it. Of course, it's secure. Everything went well. And I think that on a national level, I can't answer that question. But I thank the National Guard also because they did help in certain areas that needed more help, especially with clerks and their volunteers who were aging that just didn't want to be out and about back in April. And the same may happen now, but most of my clerks are ready for this primary. Of course, there will be much less numbers of people going to the polls for this primary than there will in November. But I really believe that they're going to be ready. And thank you all, every one of those clerks, if any of them are listening today. They did an amazing job.
Got about 8 minutes left in the program, and we haven't asked this question yet, which is kind of the burying the lead, I think. The COVID-19 pandemic has commanded the attention of state and local governments. Positive cases have been rising exponentially across Wisconsin and in the 93rd Assembly District. As of this week, the five counties included in the district that you folks are running for have combined for more than 1,200 cases of COVID-19. Each of those counties are officially at what's considered a high activity level. 87% of those cases have come since the Republican leadership of the legislature successfully convinced the state Supreme Court to lift Governor Evers' safer at home order. Warren Petrick, with those numbers in mind, did your party leaders make a mistake by reversing the Evers administration order without having something to replace it?
Well, a simple yes or no question to a complex issue.
Yes, yeah.
Listening to my constituents, it was very obvious that the stay-at-home order had served its purpose. The numbers were down. Everything was fine. Looking forward, will we need to have one again? I certainly hope not. But that all said, one of the fundamental rights that we have as citizens is to have our voices heard. So I applaud the work of the Eau Claire, for example, COVID-19 Economic Recovery Task Force. They've put out a directive called We Ask That You Wear a Mask, which is just great. I think I've talked to hundreds of constituents. It's a very strongly opinionated topic, and depending on what science people are reading, they're either very for that or not. But if you have serious illness, especially if you're elderly, if you have a compromised immune system, if you have a condition like obesity or diabetes or heart disease, certainly these folks should be much more careful. Follow the CDC guidelines, and they are quite simple. Avoid crowds, get plenty of sleep, stay healthy, cover your cough, clean high traffic surfaces, wear a face covering, social distance, and wash your hands. I mean, these are things that we learn in kindergarten, and they can be applied. The numbers of deaths, thank the Lord, are very low in Wisconsin. I mean, it's so tragic when anyone loses their life. And I heard just as we were going to a break that 978 mm-hmm. deaths as of today, and my sympathy goes out to all of those. Comorbidity is a huge factor in most of those. I personally know 11 people that have had it, and all of them fully recovered, and they ranged in age from 52 to 85. And I'm so grateful that they are recovering fine. The death rate seems to be very low as of today. With the new numbers, even we're at 0.1% of our total population has expired because of COVID-19. And every death is one too many, of course. But that being said, I think we need to take personal responsibility for our health and also corporate responsibility. So I applaud the schools making those hard decisions of whether everyone will wear masks, who won't. But it's a very unknown area that we're in. So my thanks to everyone that is making the difficult decisions.
Charlie Warner, where do you see state government's role and that of the legislature in public health emergencies like the COVID-19 outbreak?
Well, ideally, I think that a part of government is to protect the public and to look out for us. And I would have liked to have seen something much more aggressive to fight this from the very top, from Washington on down, because what happens when they don't lead is everyone becomes divided, and it's become such a horribly divisive issue that, frankly, it sickens me. People are being called and threatened because they're demanding you to wear a mask in their store. I think that's really wrong. I thought that the act by the Republicans to abate the stay-at-home order was horrendous. They'd already made a laughingstock of Wisconsin with the April election. And then the Republicans kept saying, Boston Fitzgerald kept saying, well, you need a different plan, but they have not come forward with anything. And I think they're trying to make it look like our governor is not coping well. I applaud his decisiveness to enact the mask. I see a lot of people not wearing masks. I've had funny looks by wearing a mask. But I could not stand the thought of me being someone who passes the illness on to someone else.
We are at very little time remaining. We did have a question from Margo on the phone, and sorry, Margo, we didn't get to you. But her basic question was, is will the candidates commit to listening sessions and constituent outreach? And I'll let you each answer that along with a quick wrap-up of your campaign, and we've got about time for about 30 seconds for each of you to respond. Charlie Warner, would you start, please?
Absolutely. I will immediately start planning my listening sessions in town halls. Given the challenges we face, this is going to be a hard fight, this election, but I'm confident that even in a district that was designed for Petrick, the people of Wisconsin have woken up and want representation of their real interests rather than the enrichment of a few. I have a core team dedicated to that fight and seek the help of all those who care about health, a healthy environment, and true democracy. So thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Warren Petrick, your final thoughts.
Yes, I've had thousands, literally, over the 10 years of one-to-one group meetings, listening sessions, et cetera, and I will continue to do that, of course. That's my number one job. And when I'm asked by my friends, Warren, how are you doing? My truthful answer, and sometimes unexpected, it's kind of like it depends on who you're talking to. Within the district for the past five elections, I believe that the majority of my constituents have answered that with, he's doing a good enough job to earn my vote. And for that, I'm extremely grateful. I don't think my opponent's quite prepared to make that statement, but I'm still putting her down as a definite maybe. My hope is that I will once again be granted this immense privilege to continue my work on behalf of all the residents of my district on November 3rd. So in the meantime, let's hold each other in respect and compassion and light and love and listen to what we're being called to during this incredible time, incredible chapter in our history. Thank you, Dean.
Representative Warren Petrick and Charlie Warner, the two candidates for the 93rd Assembly District, thank you for joining us today. Our producer for today's program was Catherine Thomas. Kate Spranger manages our publicity and our web presence. Next week, Republican State Representative Gay Magnifici of Dresser and her Democratic challenger Kim Butler of Balsam Lake join us for a debate in the 28th Assembly District. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thanks for joining us. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.